Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
That was Michael D.D. White, right? Is that Michael D.D. White?
Yes.
Okay, Nancy, note that Michael D.D. White made a motion to refer. No second needed. Are there any objections? Okay, thank you very much. Number four, discussion of Ted Weisskopf's request to change this committee's standard monthly meeting day, if the committee agrees to it, and if so, to what day of the month? This is a five minute item. Any discussion?
Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I propose the fourth Wednesday because the third Wednesday has a finance at BAI and has governance at KPFK. And I'm wondering if the fourth Wednesday, it just seems to be really a good winner. What do you think?
I object.
Okay, Dwayne objects. I'll take some discussion on this. I think I know why you're objecting, Dwayne. Are there any other objections? Okay, Dwayne, you want to state your objection?
Why reluctantly? Object. But the fact that is the matter is that the PMB has basically taken up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we like to think that our rest days are Friday and Saturday, or at least for other things like community and other things unrelated to Pacifica, 4 days is enough. For those of us on the board who are active, it's 80-20 plan in effect. 20% of us do 80% of the work. But what I'm basically saying is that all year, for the most part, we found that the calendar was full, whether for local purposes or national purposes. So we expressly chose the fourth Wednesday for the
third
coordinating committee.
The fourth Wednesday.
Look, let me step back then. What are we discussing since Eileen said third? Are we discussing the third or the fourth?
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Forgive me.
Okay. So we are discussing.
We're meeting on the third Wednesday of every month.
Say again?
Currently.
Well, if Eileen is correct, Mr. Chair, the third Wednesday, then my issue is moot because I was referring, I thought we were talking about the fourth Wednesday of the month.
Well,
yes,
that's why
yes.
Nancy proposed. Hold on, Nancy, please. That's why Nancy
Sorry.
Proposed that we change it to the fourth Wednesday of the month.
Well, this is why I'm speaking, because the fourth
okay.
Wednesday would be inconsistent in conflict with the date that's been set for the coordinating committee of the national board, and I believe two of us on this call. Now, that's not the fact that next meeting, I may not even be on the national board, so I'm only concerned about that moving forward. So maybe we ought to defer this to the next group that's going to be on this board, and maybe the coordinating committee won't use the last Wednesday of the month. But generally, the coordinating committee use the last Wednesday of the month because it is the preceding week before the first meeting of the PMB for the month, and we get the agenda together. So that's the reason I rise.
Okay, thank you.
I need to respect.
Go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, I have just a sort of general resistance to changing a meeting date for the convenience of one person. You know, there's never going to be a day that's great for everybody. So I'm not sure if I agree with this idea at all. That's all.
Okay.
Nancy, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Nancy.
The conflict is with the BAI finance and the KPFK governance. That's a big conflict. And if we were to change to the fourth Wednesday or even to the first Wednesday, WPFW has programming committee on the first Wednesday. But it just seems like KPFK and BAI and our governance, all three on the same third Wednesday is not good. It seems like we could we could move around a little bit. First Wednesday or fourth Wednesday. Okay, I'm back to you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so I heard two strong objections to the fourth Wednesday. So we did schedule a meeting for the last Wednesday of the month. It's sort of like a special meeting. So I think Dwayne is onto something, that we should let the next governance committee, when it's repopulated, to wrestle with this themselves. So I'm a rule that this motion is mute at this time. Do people want to take a vote?
I agree.
Are there any objections?
Yeah.
Are there any objections to my ruling? Okay, thank you. Number five, 10-minute item. Nancy, I believe one of the directors got access to the financials at KPFT. Are you painting this motion with a broad brush to address the other LSPs than the other four signal areas?
Yes, but...
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. On the thing that Eileen was kind to send it, it's one of those little, I forgot what they're called, PDFs? Yeah, PDFs. It's the
it's
one
an
on
attachment,
the...
Yeah,
yeah, it's called an attachment. Okay. Is that what it is? All right. And I wrote, whereas the LSB's powers and duties and responsibilities include, quote from the bylaws, to review and approve the station's budget, make quarterly reports to the foundation's board of directors regarding the station's budget, actual income, expenditures, unquote. So be it moved that all LSB delegates shall be given unfettered access to the actual financial documents. The passing of this motion allows the actual carrying out of delegates' responsibility with a wider financial transparency and a wider oversight, which is presently limited to the business managers, the GMs, IGMs, the CFO, and the private oversight company and auditors, and only the few PNB directors who have done financial inspections, and it's usually too limited in duration. Even the National Finance Committee directors cannot see actual financial documents. Presently, only the LSB treasurers can request them from the national office, and only if the CFO permits and the treasurers can receive these documents. It's rarely done. It's being done right now at KPFT. The passing of this motion will usher in a new era of Pacifica's financial transparency.
Okay, so...
And I'd like to add, this is not really my number one fervent wish. I wish everything was posted on a website where all 45,000 members or 44,000 members could see, because it's their stations, it's their money. But I don't think the PNB would do it, right away. But if we got this passed, then they might get a little more gumption. If the membership were to ask directly, hey, we want to see it too, then they would go for the what I really want. So this is like my second wish. I'm finished.
Okay, so just a quick question, Nancy. What is it that you want? It sounds like you're asking for the bylaws section be affirmed, reaffirmed, in regards to requesting financial data. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And what is it that you want? Mm-hmm.
All financial documents. Like, well, do I need to list them? If I need to list them, then I'll need to confer with the National Finance Committee's list of their pick of things. But in other words, I want to carry on this include the LSPs, as well as what is a given unfettered rights to the national directors, it would be the same.
Okay, I see what she's saying now. Okay, is there any discussion?
This is James.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just have a question about this idea of financial documents, and I think you're alluding now to your last comments, Nancy, indicated that you were getting to the idea of what is the specific list of financial documents that you're interested in. I just want to point out that some financial documents have information that should not be public, like bank account numbers, check number, you know, people's signatures, other things of that sort. So certain financial documents are available, and we discuss them. We see them in, for example, the finance committees. We see the profit and loss statements. And I know at some stations these things are more available than they are at others, and I think we may need to identify places where these things are not being made available, because basic financial documents are not supposed to be secret. They are supposed to be public, and the public has a right to access certain documents. There's supposed to be a public file kept at the radio stations, for example, that the public can come in and demand to see. But then other documents, again, ones containing signatures or bank account numbers, should not be. So I think your suggestion, your note to yourself, Nancy, that maybe you need to get an actual list of documents that you're interested in would be helpful.
That would be nice. I don't expect to see census stuff. I mean, that would be stupid. But I don't. I need input, because all I can think of is like bank statements with the bank account numbers covered, or bills. But I don't want census stuff. But still, we can see census stuff with something covering it. The blackout.
Hold on.
I need to dispatch. Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on one second. We see zero. Nothing.
Nancy, please.
I thought I still had the floor.
Okay. No, you stopped, and I sensed it that you didn't want the floor. From what I heard that James is saying is that you have a little bit of homework to do. So are you suggesting that we postpone this motion, James, to the 30th, maybe?
I would leave that up to Nancy as the maker of the motion. You know, it sounded like she was starting to think about it herself in terms of how she would like to refine her thoughts.
Okay. I'm gonna go to Eileen, because she's the next person that requested this back. Nancy, you want this back after Eileen?
Let Eileen speak.
Well, I asked you if you wanted this back after her.
Well, I don't know until I hear what she says.
Okay, go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, I would definitely think more carefully, define really what is the information you want to see versus what information do you want to make public to the entire world? I don't think the membership needs to see bank statements and every single transaction that happens. It's like asking to be micromanaged. Please look at and question every expense in our in our station. It's different for members of the LSB, especially. I don't know if you're on the LSB's finance committee or not, but that's where this stuff should happen, and it should happen. You should have access to could be any combination of bank statements and reports. I don't know what is made available at your station, but I wouldn't just ask for everything and anything, and also ask for it to be published. I think that's you know, going too far. There may be people at your station who could advise you on that. If not, you know, I'd be happy to talk about it a little more. Maybe James would. I'm done.
Okay. Nancy, do you want the floor? I'd like to have the floor.
Yes. At KPFT, we see zero. And at KPFA, I can almost bet they're seeing zero. They don't even have a finance committee. So some stations, nothing. And we have big problems at KPFA and KPFT in many other situations that I don't need to talk about. So I'm not a financial person, and I really would like a list from the National Finance Committee. And that list that that was anyway, I need a list so that all of you will feel, you know, have to be able to see the list and check it. But we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. And that is unfair.
Back okay, so thank you. So if you know you have nothing, then there must be something from that nothing that you want to see. So what I will suggest that you do is go back and list the things that you want, and we will bring this motion back up on the 30th. Now, one of the things that concerns me is that whenever members is seeking transparency, the word micromanage comes up, and I'm really tired of it. And I don't think a member's intent is to micromanage. I think the member's intent is to seek transparency. And that has happened on this committee quite a few times. So there's a difference between seeking transparency and micromanaging. Micromanaging is much more obvious than transparency.
May I clarify?
So,
That's
hold
not
on.
What
I'm
I meant.
Done yet. I'm not done yet. From what I heard, you said that
you clearly didn't understand. Don't repeat something that I told you is wrong. I meant if you're going to publish bank statements and every piece of financial information that she was saying she wanted
to
make it public, then that's what she said. And then you're asking the public to come in and question every expense, and you don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Okay.
I wasn't saying that she was micromanaging.
Okay, that's a point well taken. But on on the other two nonprofits that I serve on the board, the CFO and the CEO, along with the executive director, publishes and put on the website the raw numbers of where and in what state the in what financial state that our entity is in, and that's something that we have not done, and that's why a lot of listeners do not trust us. So I just want to say that. So Nancy, are you okay with going back? And you know what you're not getting, so I think you could articulate what you want. Is that a fair request from the chair?
Yeah, homework. I have homework to do. I understand. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So are there any other comments or any? I hear none.
Yeah.
Number six.
This is James, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, James.
I would like to make a comment. I understand the thrust of where Nancy is coming from, and I just want to say that it's uneven through Pacifica. She's absolutely right that it's very uneven. We have KPFA that has no finance committee at all, so there's no public discussion until they come to their LSB meeting, where in one meeting they discuss the budget this year. That budget was presented the night before that meeting, and then they discussed it and voted on it in one meeting. So, and then I'm not clear on what's going on at KPFT, but I know there are questions about what's happening. A place like WPFW, they have a finance committee. It functions very well. Their process is orderly, and it seems to go through fairly, and it's open and transparent. At WBAI, I think our general manager is very transparent. I'm on the finance committee there, and it works well. I wish we made more money, then that worked better. But the actual transparency works well. But in that example, we have one person who's the entire administrator of the whole station, and he has enough trouble running, keeping up with the finance committee and all the other things that he has to do. It would be very difficult for him to provide this information on an individual basis for individual people. So as Eileen said, that's why we have this structure at most stations. And again, at KPFT, I don't know what's happening. And I know at KPFA, it's not happening, but you have a finance committee that you can join and have access to a lot of that information as it's discussed. And I also want Nancy to know that this has also been a problem on the national level, where we actually had to pass a resolution on the finance committee to, and then take it to the PNB to get access for our accountants, not the public, for our accountants to get view only. In other words, they can't move the money around, but so that our accountants can go in and look at the bank accounts of all of our different stations and our other units like the national office and the archives and the affiliates. And just recently now, even though we got them access to look at the bank statements, we had to have another motion to get access for them to look at the deposit information. And partly this is because we're in financial trouble and we need to know exactly where the money is on a minute-by-minute basis so we can make payroll at different stations that are struggling. But the idea is that even given our accountants access to the bank statements, they still didn't see the deposit tickets. So they didn't know whether a check, for example, there was a check a couple of years ago that was sent to the national office by WBAI with an email attached.
Please summarize, James. Please summarize.
I will. It was saying, please apply this amount to our central services. And instead of applying it to our central services, the $70,000 was attributed to the national office as income to the national office. WBAI got no credit for the central services. And so in other words, not only was it not accounted properly, but it was misallocated. So there are issues with transparency, and we are working on the national level to improve that. And I would certainly recommend Nancy joining her local finance committee if that's available.
I am on it.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the time, Lawrence.
And that's okay. Thank you for that information, James. So I just want to note that my LSB would not have gotten any financial data or any financial information if it wasn't that I engaged management in doing the director's inspection to get those financials. And I'm doing the second inspection because there was some information that was not given to me. So, you know, I understand Nancy's struggle, and it's very frustrating because I see the way other nonprofits operate, and they do keep their stakeholders and their members informed as to what their financial condition is. And again, I'm going to say it again. That's why a lot of members always have questions. And I don't think that's micromanaging. I think that's seeking transparency. Thank you. We're going to go on to number six.
Chair, may I have an additional 10 seconds?
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say that I'm aware of what you did in your first director's inspection and that you're going back for another one, and I support that, and I applaud you, and go get them.
Yeah. I'm doing it for KPFK, you know, because
you're doing it for everybody.
For years, and for everybody, the finance committee just for years, you know, I hadn't gotten any financial information. So it's like a thing of bowling balls, right? If you hit one, the other ones may fall down, or the domino effect. If things aren't being transparent in one station, I mean, that affects the whole network. Okay, so I'm going to go to number six.
Nancy, I have just one more thing to say about this. Can I?
Oh, please, Nancy. We already know what you got to do, but go ahead.
Okay.
Say one last thing.
Yeah.
Say one last thing.
When one does not have evidence, then you have no evidence of embezzlement, and you have no evidence of no embezzlement. You have no evidence. That's all.
Okay, got you. Okay, Nancy, we're going to go to your next motion on voting methods. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Okay. In voting or deciding for a pool of candidates for your GM candidates or your PD candidates, or it might be even issues or tasks or whatever, when it's a few things that you're doing, more than one, the bylaws expresses STV, but it's not clearly said STV for a pool of candidates for your GM. So at our KPFT Management Selection Review Committee, when we were selecting candidates for GM, we were expecting to do STV, but they decided it was going to be a majority vote. And so I think this is a wrong interpretation of the spirit of the bylaws, and Pacifica is very much for STV because it represents a diversity. And I think everyone here knows what this means. It's much more you're pulling in input from many instead of just the majority. So I wanted to make a rule that it applies for candidates, PD candidates, GM candidates, or anything where you have to do pick several. We're going to put plan A, plan B, or plan C, that it STV be used. And this would help in the other stations when they select their candidates for GM or PD, and they won't have this horrible situation that happened at KPFT happened to them, where the majority just took over and decided they were going to decide who were the candidates. I'm finished.
Okay, that's it?
Yes. Do you want me to read it? It's like 8 lines, I think.
Yeah, go ahead and read it, please.
Okay. Whereas the selection of a pool of candidates for a GM or a PD or an ED be consistent with the use of STV method, which supports diversity as opposed to a majority vote, which is not inclusive, the majority vote. Therefore, be it moved that the use of STV method be used for selection of a pool of candidates or GM, PD, or ED candidates. And at the bottom, I just put references from the bylaws about voting methods in Article 15. It says, unless otherwise expressly provided in these bylaws, all elections by the members and delegates, directors, and LSBs shall be conducted by STV method, where there is more than one seat or position to be filled, and by instant runoff voting, where there is only one seat or position to be filled. Can anybody improve it? I'm finished.
Any discussion on this motion? Oh, close the door. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my housemate about my cat.
No worries.
Yeah.
This is James.
You need to do this thing, I'll tell you. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I find this interesting. I got to say I'm intrigued by this proposal. I hope there's more discussion because I'm sure there's things I'm not thinking of about pros and cons for it. But I find it intriguing. It certainly seems like an interesting idea. And what would be, and I guess I have a question. You would then, by figuring out how many votes there are in the committee, you would have to establish a threshold. And for a candidate to get on the list of the pool of candidates, he would have to exceed that threshold. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, we did this when we picked our GM candidates 2 years ago. We did it by STV from the Management Selection Review Committee. And it was more peaceful. But this time, it was just a majority decided. And so the smaller faction had they felt cheated. They felt very, very like their vote didn't care, didn't matter.
Okay. So, Nancy, if I could ask you, what do we want? Because we have a time certain of 10:30 Eastern time, which is 7:30 my time, and I have a committee meeting, a governance committee meeting, a local governance committee meeting. So what is it that you want from this? Or do you want to fine-tune it more, maybe communicate with James Sagerton to see if he could provide some input? And then we could bring it up on the 30th. We could carry it over. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, I would like input from the committee. And just imagine that you're in the minority of your board and that the majority and your majority wants to keep your horrible manager. I mean, I'm just pretending. Let's pretend. And that your votes don't even, you know, you only have 8 people on your side of the board. So the majority will, the 16 will just outvote you. And you won't have your input on the next manager. So you'll have the same manager again.
So what you're talking is, I know we do a STV vote when we're voting for, if there's more than one candidate, then we narrow them down, right? And that's been the practice at KPFK. So I think you're looking for something like that, right? I could provide you some documentation as to the matrix that we use, the model that we use. Would that help?
Yes. See, you had a nice plan, and your board is behaving. But we need a rule when a board does not want to be nice and does not want to be fair and just wants to be the bully.
Okay. So
can
you send that motion?
Yeah.
Can you send that motion out again so we could respond with input? And I could send you those documents. Yeah,
okay.
I sent them to PFW, to Vanessa Disson Briggs, and she said they were very helpful. They are going to be very helpful. Okay, so we go to our new business, number 7. We had, I believe we had 2 resignations, 2 verbal resignations from this committee, and I also want to mention that Tom Voorhees was selected by the PNB to sit on this committee, and he probably didn't get the notice. So I'll definitely communicate with him to see if he could come to the next committee meeting for KPFA. So he'll be the director
of KPFA. Nancy on the stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. For a person to receive a reminder or, you know, for any on being on a committee, the way the pathway is, the secretary sends it to the PNB secretary. But in this case, the PNB secretary knew about this and did not send the information to the IT engineer, Otis, so he would put Tom Voorhees' name in the governance committee. So the PNB secretary is key.
In defense of the secretary, the outgoing secretary, we changed it midstream because we elected a new secretary because she had resigned. So,
yes.
I'll make sure that gets done. I'll make sure that gets done, and Tom hopefully will be able to join us at the next meeting.
Yeah, he doesn't even know this meeting's taking place. Yeah, okay.
Should I call him
now?
Get him here? Are we all about to go?
No, we're almost done.
I mean, it's almost time to adjourn. So.
Okay.
About the resignation. About the resignations, you said 2 resignations.
Hold on, Nancy. Hold on.
Oh,
please.
Okay.
I'm on it. Work with me, please. Okay. I love you, Nancy. Anyway, okay. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Okay, so resignation of committee members. Okay. We had 2 verbal resignations, both of them from KPFA. We had 1 resignation verbally by a member from KPFA. I don't know if it's appropriate to announce her name, where she resigned
You resigned at the same meeting, open session.
Oh, she did resign in open session. Okay, so that was Susan Da Silva. And then Carol Wolfley also resigned, but she stayed for part of the meeting because I asked both of them to please stay and to reconsider. But neither one of them had been to this committee meeting. And I know that when somebody resigns from a board, it's up to the board to either accept the resignation or rejected resignation. So what would you want to do?
Nancy on the stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
We got written confirmation from Da Silva. She said she did resign in written form in an email. And Carol, I listened to that.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you
hold
did?
On, please.
Oh,
hold on,
okay.
Eileen. Hold on. Nancy has the floor. Nancy has the floor.
I listened to the recording, and Carol was. It sounded like she was resigning too. Before I do, I have something to say, she said, and then she carried on, but she stayed in the meeting, and then she sent a letter later saying that she did not resign. So. I think for Carol, it's still a question mark, but Susan, absolutely.
Okay. So I do have Carol Wolfley's number. I will call her tomorrow to see if she intends to attend the next committee meeting or if she resigned. Is that a...
Eileen to the stack?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe Nancy just said she got letters or emails from both of them stating in writing that they had resigned. I don't believe I've seen such an email. Have you, Chair?
I think I saw Susan's some time ago because I had sent out a notice to the KPFA chair that one, they needed to replace the two resignations.
Oh, okay.
And I did mention that Susan resigned. And then that's when they reacted. So after I send that email, I could probably look it up and send it to the committee. Go ahead, James.
Thank you, Lawrence. I apologize for not having done my homework. If anybody could inform me, is there anything in the bylaws or in Robert's rules about resignations? And if so, is it that if they confirm in writing that it's effective, and would that then solve our problem, our questions?
No, one confirmed and one denied? Yeah, the process is, I believe, in Robert's Rules of Order. Don't ask me what section. The process is, because I had experience with that two times, where we didn't accept the resignation of a member that wished to resign. So it's still up to the committee or the board to either accept the resignation or reject the resignation. So that's my understanding.
And may I add one more thing, Lawrence?
Yeah.
I think it's important that we do that because as people will understand that when you have people who did or didn't resign, you don't know, then it starts to mess with your achieving quorum, and that can cause problems in the future with our being able to conduct a meeting.
Right. It's only pro forma and thing of decorum to do. I think it's a very noble thing for the committee or the board to either accept a resignation or not accept a resignation. So
I think it's more than noble. We need to do it for purposes of establishing quorum.
That too.
Yes.
And it's also, you know, the eliminating possible propaganda, too, and bad wrapping of a committee or a governance structure. So, what say you? Should we accept the resignations of Ms. Carol Wolfley and Ms. Susan Da Silva?
Susan Da Silva, I say yes. We accept
request for information.
Go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, how could we refuse to accept a resignation? How does that work? we can't force somebody to come to our meetings, right?
We have days.
I'm just saying that's a pro forma thing to do. I mean, I'm just saying. So
no, I honestly was wondering how that's supposed to work. But okay, never mind.
Okay.
It's not important.
And usually, the only instance that I experienced was that one board did not accept her resignation, which was on the PNB in Berkeley, California, when they had it at a hotel, where one member resigned and the board refused to accept the resignation, and she sat back in the chair. So, you know, yeah.
So okay,
I ain't going to say no names. But hold on, James. I'm going to go to Dwayne if he's still on the call, because I know Dwayne is more studied in Robert's Rules of Order than I am. James? Dwayne?
Yeah.
Are you there? Are you there, Dwayne? Okay, he might have went to go eat or play with his grandchildren.
Here.
He's not there?
Is somebody with an area code of 240? Who is that?
I don't know. What's
somebody
the last four numbers, honey?
The last four numbers are 7673. I'm just not sure who it is. I don't have that number on my list. In my list.
We don't have any.
Whose number would that be?
Hmm? No.
Well,
no,
we've been in open session, so it's not like we're discussing any proprietary stuff.
No, it's not a big deal. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Nancy on set.
Maryland.
Go ahead, Nancy. We got 5 minutes before adjourning.
Yeah, I move we accept Susan DeSilva's resignation.
Okay. No second needed in committee. Are there any objections?
Just a question.
Okay.
A question, Lars?
Who wants to ask the question, James?
James, yes. Was that I apologize. Is she the one who resigned and then confirmed in writing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. No objection.
And how about Carol Wolfley? Should I call her tomorrow and ask if she intends to attend the next meeting? Or is she resigning?
Or to send a letter. We need to confirm, definitely.
Yeah, James for the stack.
Go ahead, James.
I agree with Eileen. But I think it would be wise for you to reach out to her one way or another by phone or by email or however you can effectuate a contact. And that would be to ask her, does she intend to resign? Because apparently, listening to the tape, there might be some question as to whether she said she was going to and then she did or she didn't because she stayed. So I would say reach out to her, ask her what her intention is. And if her intention is to resign, ask her to put it in an email and send it to the committee. And if not, ask her to show up, because if she's missing three in a row, we're going to take her off anyway.
Okay, so when I write the email, hold on, Nancy. When I write the email, should I copy the committee or should I just send it to her?
That would work for transparency. That covers you.
I would suggest writing an email, copying the committee, and making a phone call as well, because sometimes... And I'm one of those people, you don't see your emails, but, you know, just a phone call that says there's an email asking for her response. And then the question is whether you put it to her that, you're confirming unless she contradicts, or asking her to take an affirmative action, which she might neglect to do. I'm not sure which
is
better.
Is that Michael White or James? Is that Michael D.
That's
White
Michael
James?
White. Yeah.
Thank you.
Point,
I know it's New York.
Point of personal privilege. This is Ted Weisgall.
Oh.
Hi, Ted. We're about to adjourn, Ted, in 2 minutes. So We agreed to meet on December the 30th, which is the last Wednesday of the month. And the motion that you are motivating was moved to December the 30th.
Thank you very much. I will go back to my job. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Yeah, Nancy on the stack. Yes.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I don't think we need to contact Carol. She has said in writing that she is not resigned from the committee.
Okay.
That was the last word
from
her. Also, she missed last month, and she missed tonight. So there is a resolution by the PMB. I think it was 2004.
Yeah, we know about that one three times.
Yeah, and so she needs to, and as secretary, I'd be happy to give her her telephone call and her email to Christina Huggins, the LSB, and the PMB chair. Is it Alex now? Or is he still chair? I guess he is.
Yeah.
That impending suspension, you know, and removal. So,
okay.
What you're supposed to do. We're not supposed to do.
Nancy? I'm not in agreement with that. As the chair, I will communicate with her.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
No, listen to me, please. Listen to me. As the chair, I will communicate with her. I will copy everybody in this committee. And if you want to send her the email as Secretary Pro Tem, you're more than welcome to. But I don't agree with involving all of those cooks in the kitchen.
Excuse me, this is a PMB resolution, Lawrence. This is not a choice.
Nancy. It's very ambiguous whether somebody could be removed from a committee because of three absences. We have Michael Adler that's never attended the committee, and we still call his name on the in the roll. So please let me, as the chair, communicate to Ms. Wolfley. I will write the email to the committee. Before I send it, I will send it to you, Secretary Pro Tem, Nancy, and then you could send it to Carol. I don't think the PMB and the chair and all of these other people need to be involved.
I'm sorry. I disagree.
That's my ruling.
This is a PMB resolution. It was passed by the PMB.
That's fine. It's also in the bylaws that if you miss three consecutive meetings, you're off. Okay?
No,
and that's, I think, for board members. Excuse me, Nancy. My ruling is that I like to communicate with her. And if you want to send the email to her, you're more than welcome to. But I don't want to get more punitive than that. Okay? So this is, not about being punitive. Hold on, please. This is not about being punitive. This is about being tactful. Okay, so I don't want to, throw the book at her. I think that's my ruling. If anybody wants to challenge your ruling, well, Nancy, you need to relax because you're not recognized. James.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to suggest that this, or to mention that this happened in another committee, and I think you're partly right, and I think Nancy's partly right. There is that resolution from the PMB that says after three absences, the chair should then warn. After two absences, the chair should warn the member if there's a third absence that she can be removed. I don't know if it says can be or will be. I'm not clear on that, but I think where the discretion of the chair would come in is if you. Or the omission of the chair comes in, whether it's discretion or omission. If the chair doesn't warn the person, then it would not happen after the third absence automatically. The chair has that either, as I say, either discretion or, just the possibility of omitting to act to not effectuate it. And I'm not quoting the resolution. I don't have it in front of me, but that's what happened at a different committee.
Okay, thank you, James. I'm going to go to Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy.
That's why Mr. Adler cannot be removed. He has to be warned by telephone first before you can, and you have to say, come to the next meeting or you will be removed. And that's why we cannot remove Adler. But he's missed two consecutive, so I have a right to call him and warn him, and I have a right to give him an email.
No, no, you don't have that right. You, and I'm sorry,
okay.
Nancy. You do not have that right.
Finish,
the chair.
If you let me finish.
The chair.
Let me finish. I have the floor, Lawrence. Excuse me. I have the floor. I read this motion. It does not say the chair, the secretary. It doesn't say any member of the committee. It doesn't say who does this. It just says it has to be done. And in my case, in every committee
that's what I'm trying to do. That's why. So you agree with me. That's what I'm trying to do.
Lawrence, let me finish my sentence. It does not say who needs to do it, but it does need to be done. So in my experience, I have done it many, many times. And when they have, when they put a, like, no voicemail taken or voicemail box is full, or they have a recording that this number is not accepted, well, I just text them. So I've done my duty as far as warning by telephone. I mean, if you can't get them by telephone, text would be enough. But you have to tell them.
Okay,
you have to warn the LSB chair and the PNB chair of impending suspension. That is the rule.
Okay.
And she's missed two consecutive.
Okay, Nancy, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to communicate with her either through email or I have a phone number I could call her as well. Okay? So I don't know what the commotion is about.
Thank you for an answer.
Excuse me. I could call Mr. Adler too. Mr. Adler has not made one meeting. So he has... been out of the loop. I've communicated with him. He gets the emails and all of that. Now, some people have lives, you know, and sometimes their life comes into play. So that's all I got to say about Mr. Adler, okay? I will communicate with both of them unless the committee wants Nancy to do it. Okay.
Excuse me? I didn't understand the last sentence. Do I have homework to do or what?
No, you don't have more homework to do. You got enough to do, Nancy. I'm trying to work collaboratively, right? So I will communicate with Carol tomorrow. If the committee wants me to call her, I'll be more than happy to.
That's the rule.
If the committee wants me, hold it, please, Nancy.
Sorry.
So I'm just trying to provide options. If the committee wants me to call her, that's what I do. If the committee wants me to email her, it says to communicate. So
no,
a lot of people
both.
These days communicate through email.
Says both.
Somebody says both, so that's what I'm offering, both. Did you get it? Okay,
good.
So what does the committee want me to do?
Both.
That's
call
you, Nancy. I'm asking the committee.
Excuse
I'm
me,
asking
the Mr.
committee.
Chair?
Please, stay in order. Yeah, go ahead, Arlene.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think you should do what you were intending, which is to send her an email and also as a courtesy or a show of collegiality, give her a call.
Okay.
There's no problem with that.
So that's one opinion. Anybody else have anything to say about that? Okay, so anyway, sometimes we argue when we're both on the same road. And it was obvious that we were both on the same road, but we had to debate it because we are in Pacifica, right? And so I think that's the kind of stuff that we need to be more careful about. All right, so I will email Ms. Wolfley. I will copy everybody, and then I will pick up the phone. Because it's not heavy for me, I will pick up the phone and call her as well. Is that okay with
Nancy,
everybody?
Nancy on the stack. The rule does not
say. About this
you,
again?
You tell
and Nancy,
the
you're
family.
Out of order. We have moved on. You're out of order. I'm sorry.
William for the stack.
Go ahead, William.
Yeah, you also said something about a Mr. Adler.
Right, Mr. Adler, yeah. I will call him as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Unless there's anything else, this meeting is adjourned. We're over time as it is. We're over 8 minutes. We had a time certain for 10:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for taking a minute, Nancy. Bye.
Oh, but it's not listed. It's not listed.
What's not listed?
Thank you, everybody.
I mean, it's not on the calendar. It's not on the 30th. It's just blank.
Oh, well, it's going to get – I'm going to put it on the calendar in a few minutes, Nancy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, good night,
Lawrence,
everyone. Thank you.
My other meeting ended just as I joined this one. I had to search for the phone number.
I already filled you in. We're going to meet again on the 30th, okay?
Same time, 7:30 Eastern. Thank you, sir.
8:30 Eastern. You'll get
8:30 Eastern. Okay. Thank you.
Good night. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.